This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise belongs to Allah, the Most High. We thank Him and we seek His help and His aid and His forgiveness. And we seek His refuge from the evil of ourselves and the sins that we do. Indeed, whomsoever Allah leads astray, no one can guide. And whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. The best of speech is the book of Allah, and the best of guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the worst of religious matters are those that have been innovated, and every religious innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance will be in hellfire. Amma ba'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us stories in the Quran. And in fact, there are so many stories in the Quran that we should stop and ponder for a minute, what is the significance of a story? When you think about it, all your life, you are engaged in either listening to a story or you're telling a story. From the time that you wake up in the morning and you go online to see what happened with the world today, or you go through the pages of the newspaper, or you switch on the TV, you're watching a story, you're reading a story. When you talk to a friend, a family member, about what happened with you yesterday, or what you're going to do tomorrow, or you're listening to them, you're either telling them a story or you're listening to a story. When you visit a friend, when you're spending some time with them, most of what you do, you're telling stories to each other. And if we can take it even beyond that, we can say that most of the world today is built upon stories. Christianity is built upon a story. And I don't mean by a story here fake story or true story, just a story. It's built upon a story. That God has a son and the son had to die. Judaism is built upon a story, a chosen nation of God. Hinduism is built upon a story. Buddhism is built upon a story. Not only religion is built upon a story. Nationhood is built upon a story. Every nation has a story that defines it. We are these people. Here where we came from. Here where we are going. We have been created by the gods, as some nations would claim. The gods came and mingled with us, and so our race had come from the gods. Every nation, every race has a story. But what makes the stories in the Quran, in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unique and different from all the other stories that we hear every day and we tell every day? One of the first and most important differences is that the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it tells a story, the story is true. And if I were just to end the khutbah just on that point, I believe it would be enough. Just for you to contemplate and ponder over and over and over the significance of having true stories versus untrue or fake stories. What Allah says is true. As if we'll have time today, in Surah Al-Qasas, the stories. نَتْلُوا عَلَيْكَ مِن نَبَأِ مُوسَى وَفِرْعَوْنَ بِالْحَقِّ. We will tell you from the story of Musa and Fir'aun, the truth. Allah is saying, He's telling you the truth. Consider how many religions today are built upon fake stories. Were they to find the truth of those stories, these religions would cease to exist. Right? See how many religions today are built upon incomplete stories. Part of the story is true. Isa alayhi salam did come. He did live. They did plot against him. But the story is incomplete. So it's not a true story. How many nations today would lose their racism, their superiority, that they feel above everyone else when they know that the story of their creation is just a story. It's not true, or if part of it is true, it's incomplete. To have the story tell being told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. We tell you and narrate to you the best of stories. So who is the one who is telling? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the story is true. It's true in that it happened. It's true that it happened on all of its details without exaggeration. Maybe you've had a friend come to you and he says, you would not believe what happened to me today. And he goes on and the story is very believable. But we exaggerate. When it comes to us, we exaggerate. I saw this and that today. And when you go and you examine reality, it's not really what he saw. He didn't really describe it accurately. He missed some stuff, exaggerated something else. The story, as he presented it to you, it's not true completely. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says about someone, he's a corrupter, Allah is speaking the truth. When he says about someone that he is of good morals, Allah is speaking the truth. When He says about something, it's a great trial, Allah is speaking the truth. But we tend to exaggerate. And we leave some details, important details sometimes. And maybe you had a friend who would tell you a story and you would say, wait, it didn't happen that way. You missed a detail. Without this detail, the story doesn't make sense. Allah doesn't miss a detail. Allah tells you the entire story. And doesn't favor one party over the other. Not if it happened to me and to my people, I'll exalt them and put them under the best of lights. Whereas my enemy, my foe, I will be unjust and untrue to them and deceive them when I tell my story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the truth and the entire truth. And another feature of the stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, and I hope that you can inshallah stay with me. This is a little bit abstract, but inshallah try to stay with me. That these are the best of stories. Many stories happen, but are all of them worthy of telling, and recording, and narrating over and over and over. We have so many silly stories. There's no use in telling them. And so you have to think about that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout this entire history of humanity, when Allah wants to reveal this eternal book that is going to stay with us till the day of judgment, His word, He picks the stories and only these stories from the entire human history. And He says, these are the stories and these are the best of stories. So there is something special about them. You can tell any story you want. It could be true. You could have all the details. You can be as neutral, as objective as you can. But still, the story may not be important. But Allah picks the best of stories and He presents them to us. And who is the one who is telling the story? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way He tells the story is different than the way you tell it. Allah does not record the story the way a historian does. This person was born on that day. He had siblings. These were his parents. Then at that age, this and that happened to him. Then he moved on and so on until he dies. Allah doesn't record it that way. Because the Quran was not revealed to be such a book. It's a book of guidance. And it's a book of instruction and teaching. So the important thing in the surah is the moral of the story. The benefit that comes from the story. So you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes and He picks from all of these stories the time and the place and the moment that fits that moral that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach. And He leaves other details that are not important. So you may wonder, what are the names of the people of the cave? What's the color of their dog? When did they live exactly? What's the name of the mother of Musa? What's the name of the mother of Maryam? We don't know. Why don't we know? Because it's not important. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to, in a sense, zero in on what you should think about. So anything that would cloud it, anything that would cramp it, He leaves it out. You don't need it. And you find, and that's a mistake, you find in some of the tafsir, or when we look at the Quran sometimes, we focus on what Allah did not say. Don't focus on what Allah did not say. If it was important, Allah would put it there. He would tell you the name of the mother of Maryam, or the mother of Musa, alayhi salam, or the colors, and the age, and the names of the people of the cave, and how old the dog was, and his color. But you don't need it. He says, focus on these things and leave everything else aside. And also something that is important about these stories that are different from the stories that we have around us is that they are intended for a reason. Right? You watch a story on TV, you listen to your friend, what's the purpose of that? Passing time, entertainment. So after that, the story goes away. It may stay with you a little bit, or not, but it just goes away. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to do is He wants to introduce this story to you for a reason. That's why the story is there. نَتْلُوا عَلَيْكَ مِن نَبَئِ مُوسَى وَفِرْعَوْنَ بِالْحَقِّ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. We are telling this story, the true story, to and for a believing people. These are the people who are the audience of that story, who will benefit from it, and who will learn the moral of that story so that they can imitate the heroes of that story. It's not just a story for entertainment. It's not just a story for passing time. And I want to alert you here that every story has a moral. Don't think that any story is innocent. That's why when you let your kids, and some of them are here today, when you let them go on and they watch TV and you're thinking that they're watching something innocent, cartoons, aren't cartoons innocent enough? Every cartoon carries the imprint of the creator of the cartoon. He believes certain things, does not believe some other things. Sit down with them and watch it. And don't say it's harmless. Do an experiment. Don't say it's harmless. Sit down with a piece of paper. Write down everything that they say, they do, on that show that you don't want your kids to do. Don't say it's a cartoon so they will not do it. They know better. Don't say that. Just write it down and see how many things you're going to get. Every story has a moral. And a lot of the stories in the world today, when they are told by the kuffar, carry the wrong kind of moral. They elevate the villains. And they ignore the heroes and the good guys. They don't have a full picture. And that's another thing that distinguishes a story in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the complete picture. A tyrant, an oppressor, like Fir'aun, whom we will talk about soon. A story from a human about Fir'aun could be that just he had killed some people. Or how he came to power. And the story will end there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't do that. Allah has access to the scene from the beginning and before Pharaoh till the end and after Pharaoh and on the day of judgment. So He gives you the entire story. How He was defeated and why He was defeated. And what will happen today to Him on the day of judgment. So you will never come out from that story thinking that the villain has won. It never will happen. Never will you come out from that story as accessory to murder, as accessory to robbery and thievery. Because a lot of the stories that we have today, they want to look at things from a different angle. So you find yourself after some time rooting for the bad guy. They stole and they're rooting for that because they're the heroes of the story. And Allah does not do that. He's the best of storytellers and His stories are the best of stories. And one point that I forgot to mention about objectivity. That the stories that we hear around us, even on the news, are not objective. And I want that, inshallah, to be in the heart and mind of every Muslim. It doesn't mean that you read it in a newspaper, that you watch it on TV, on a news channel, that that is true. Who's telling you this story? Another human like you. What are the policies of the channel or that newspaper? What words are they allowed to use and they are not allowed to use? What biases does this person have? What does he want to show and what does he want to hide? So don't ever think that when you see something or when you receive news on the hands of the kuffar, especially when reported about Muslims, that you have the entire truth. And you must consult more than one source before you can receive or before you can reach a final judgment and say, I agree, I disagree, I condemn, I am in favor of. Always be careful. But that, in the Quran, you don't have to worry about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said, has the entire truth there. Think about that, inshallah, as you're going through your days and weeks and you hear about stories and you go back and you compare that to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qasas, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. We're introduced to a character that is called Fir'aun, who has exalted himself on the earth. And he had made the people under him into factions, Shia, indeed opposing factions. And he went on to oppress a part of them, a segment of them. And what did he do? He used to kill the male, the newborn males, and keep the females. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, he is from the corruptors. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the background, in one ayah the background, and from it you can understand a lot. Pharaoh is a ruler. Pharaoh is an oppressive ruler. Pharaoh rules his people with oppression because they are supposed to be equal. They're supposed all to be equal, but to control them, he divides them into parts and segments. And these parts and these segments, he incite hostilities between them so that they would compete against each other, fight each other, hate each other, so he will have power over them. He will always continue to have power over them. And we can go on and on explaining how this happens every time an oppressor wants to control a people. And how the oppressors came to control Muslims and still do by inciting these same divisions. Learn from it as you are reading the story. And there is so much to learn from these stories in the Quran. Never think that by just me going through it that we've learned everything from it. Never. And what he used to do is, with this specific population, that he in fact should honor their people of the land. But maybe, and we're saying maybe he thought that they were just migrants. They don't belong to the land, although they've been living there for hundreds of years. But he would take their newborn babies and he would kill them to control the population. So they will continue to be submissive before him. And instead of thanking them because they are what? They are the progeny, the children of Yusuf alayhi salam, who saved Egypt, who saved the entire population by the interpretation of the dream that he gave and then by the well management of its resources. Instead of being faithful to Yusuf alayhi salam and his children, he treated them with the opposite. And Allah says he is from the mufsideen. And here you must understand that if a person becomes of such a nature, such oppression, when it exists on the face of this earth, and it grows, it carries with it the element of its destruction. Within itself, it has the element of destruction because it cannot continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow it to continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change it and will remove it. And you see here now what Allah says. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. You now understand what Fir'aun wants. Now we're going to see what Allah wants. Allah wants to favor those who had been oppressed on this earth and make them leaders. make them, move them from the submissive slave situation they were in, from an enslaved people, to make them into what? Leaders. Leaders in Iman and Islam. And Banu Israel were leaders in Islam and Iman. ونجعلهم الوارثين, and make them the heirs to the land. ونمكن لهم في الأرض, and we would establish them on the face of this earth. And ونري فرعون وهامان وجنودهما منهم ما كانوا يحذرون. And we want to show and have Fir'aun and Haman and their soldiers see with their own eyes this very same thing that they were afraid of. This is what Fir'aun wants, and this is what Allah wants. And that's the background to the story. And then you begin to see what happens. And you immediately move into another scene. We're talking here about imperial policy, state policy, about what Allah wants, grand issues. And then you immediately are reduced to a house of a woman. You don't know her name. The only thing you know, Allah has told her, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ. We have given her the inspiration. Suckle him. Feed him. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. But if you fear for him, because they were going to come to kill him, then throw him in the river. And do not be afraid. And do not be sad. إِنَّا رَدُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We will return him to you, and we will make him of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is testing her. And you will find throughout the story of Musa alayhi salam, women who are around him, who are exemplary. And the woman, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, was exemplary in the faith that she had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah tested her with something that is painful. But without the mother of Musa alayhi salam, there would not be Musa alayhi salam. So she needed to go through this pain. And let us learn from it that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the best for you, He puts hurdles in your way. He puts obstacles in your way. So if you have an obstacle, don't think Allah hates me. Allah did not hate the mother of Musa, nor did He hate Musa. Nor did He hate the Bani Israel. If Allah puts difficulties in your way, say, Allah, if you are patient, say, Allah is preparing me for something great. So take advantage of it and be patient and be faithful and see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking you. So when she was faithful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she did as He told her to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him. Took him to where? To the court of the same man who wanted to kill him. To the court of the most ruthless person in that land, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him there. As if she's trying to save him from Pharaoh, and Allah is saying, I will take him to Pharaoh. Allah will take him to Pharaoh. How did he invade this child, defenseless child? How did he invade the court of Pharaoh? He invaded him because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to. He invaded him because Allah had put love on Musa alayhi salam. So if you see Musa, you will love him. وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. So that's why when the wife of Pharaoh saw this child, she said, do not kill him. قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ لَا تَقْتُلُوهُ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And we see here a glimpse of mercy in the court of this ruthless man. Later we will come to know that this woman is one of the best women that have ever existed on this earth. We see this mercy. And she saved him, radiyallahu anha. And this Musa was taken into the court of Pharaoh. And then just to speed up the story, and maybe we can continue it inshaAllah on a different occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows for the mother of Musa alayhi salam to retrieve Musa. They are so worried, the people of Pharaoh, about Musa, that he is not suckling, that he is not accepting any milk, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns him to his natural mother. And here, instead of her being afraid for Musa, having to hide it, now she's feeding him with all confidence, taking him back and forth in public and being paid for it. So if you trust in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was very difficult for her. In kadat latubidi bihi, she was about to disclose the whole matter. A mother and a child, these are strong sentiments. And think here about your own desire. You have very strong desires. But I don't know if all of our desires can measure up to the sentiments of a mother about her child, towards her child. Yet she was strong. And because of her strength, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded her. So that she would know that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. This story is something that you read, you hear about. But then comes the time for you to be tested like the mother of Musa or less. And it's time for you then to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do what He wants and wait for the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be fulfilled. And then you can even identify with Musa alayhi salam and his mother even more and more. So this story is not for us only to listen to. Now you have a lesson or an example of sacrifice. And I want to conclude by saying something. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this ruthless Pharaoh. On another occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, or says to Musa and Harun, وَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. When you speak to him and you're inviting him to the truth, make it in a gentle manner. Soft, gentle matter. Don't shout at him. Don't scream at him. Don't be rough with him. Gently present the truth to him. And more than that, Allah did not send to him anyone from the children of Israel. Just anyone, a stranger. He sent him an adopted son. Someone who grew up in his house. He knows very well. His wife loves him so much. He didn't send a stranger. He sent a man that he raised himself. And he knows him very well. So as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, my mercy even extends to you. I'm sending someone very close to you and to your family. So you would trust him and find it easy to accept the truth from him. And see here the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then the rebellion of Pharaoh. That even he did not listen to this man, to Musa alayhi salam, though he was beloved by all who saw him. The stories of Allah that he has in the Quran, the story that Allah tells in the Quran are worthy of your deep, deep study. And especially I would emphasize, our sisters need to study the models that we have in the Quran about all the different women and learn from them, especially in these times. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, to teach us His book. Oh Allah, we ask you that you teach us your book. Oh Allah, we ask you that you teach us your book. And oh Allah, make us of those who are guided by your book. Allah, make us of those who are guided by your book. Allah, make us of those who are guided by your book. Oh Allah, make us of those who seek inspiration and action from it. Allah, make us of those who seek inspiration and action from it. Allah, make us of those who seek inspiration and action from it. Oh Allah, guide us to the truth and make it easy for us to follow it. Oh Allah, guide us to the truth and make it easy for us to follow it. Oh Allah, guide us to the truth and make it easy for us to follow it. Oh Allah, and put a great distance between us and falsehood and make it very difficult for us to follow it. Oh Allah, put a great distance between us and falsehood and make it very difficult for us to follow it. Oh Allah, put a great distance between us and falsehood and make it very difficult for us to follow it. Oh Allah, purify our hearts. Oh Allah, purify our intentions. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with your love. Oh Allah, fill our hearts with your fear. Oh Allah, make our actions sincere. And according to the sunnah of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, unite the Muslims upon your book and the sunnah of your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, clothe them and feed them and provide for them. O Allah, provide for the Muslims. O Allah, defeat the enemies of the Muslims. O Allah, defeat the enemies of the Muslims. O Allah, defeat the enemies of the Muslims. O Allah, protect us all from their harm. Allahumma nas'aluka al-khayra kullahu wa na'udhu bika min ash-sharri kullih. Wa nas'aluka al-jannata wa ma qarraba ilayha min qawlin wa amal. ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل ونسألك خير ما سألك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم طهر لنا قلوبنا اللهم نسألك الإخلاص اللهم نسألك الإخلاص ومتابعة السنة اللهم نسألك الإخلاص ومتابعة السنة اللهم نسألك الإخلاص ومتابعة السنة اللهم رقق لنا قلوبنا واملأها إيمانا اللهم رقق لنا قلوبنا واملأها إيمانا. اللهم رقق لنا قلوبنا واملأها إيمانا. اللهم كما حسنت خلقنا فحسن خلقنا. اللهم كما حسنت خلقنا فحسن خلقنا. اللهم كما حسنت خلقنا فحسن خلقنا. اللهم اجمع المسلمين على كتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم، واجعلهم يدا على من سواهم، وأنزل غضبك وسخطك على عدو المسلمين. اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم أتهم من حيث لا يحتسبون، واجعل تدبيرهم تدميرهم، ورد مكرهم في نحورهم، وأرنا فيهم يوما تشفي به صدور قوم مؤمنين رب العالمين. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. أقم الصلاة.